Hey guys, this is Live Cope, LLC. We're a self-help podcast out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. I'm Nancy Perez coming back to you from Studio 916. Thank you if you're listening and tuning in for the first time. Welcome back if you are a consistent listener. I am back today with another episode for one of the series that I do on the podcast, which is Women Who Inspire. And as you guys know, I started doing this series at the beginning of the year, being part of the Women's March and just with International Women's Day. I just wanted to really highlight amazing women, but you know, it's not just about a month or a march. It's about, you know, we're women year round, life round. So this next guest that I have here, like I told you last week, on last week's episode, is a powerhouse of a woman. And in the current times that we live in, you see a lot of people that are, just showing you the highlights of their life and only showing you the best of their lives. And then you have a few people like Suzette Heal Girl, Mark Anthony, who is just raw. She's just showing you the good, the bad, the ugly, the pretty. And that's why I wanted to have her here today. Welcome, Suzette Heal Girl. How are you?
I'm pretty good, actually. Yeah, I'm really happy to be here.
I'm so glad that you said yes. For those of you that, you know, don't know Heal Girl, you're going to get to know her here on this episode today. But Suzette is currently dealing, and I don't know how long you've been dealing with MS, which is multiple sclerosis, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I was diagnosed in December of 2012, so this will be my 7th year with MS.
Oh my goodness. So for those of us that are completely clueless about what MS is, multiple sclerosis, tell us a little bit about what that diagnosis means and what it is.
So multiple sclerosis literally means many lesions. And so what happens is that our immune system decides to attack the myelin sheath of our nerves in our central nervous system. And the myelin sheath is this nice little fatty coating that protects our nerves. And so what happens is when it eats away at that, it leaves a scar behind. And so it makes it so, like, if you think of an electrical cord that's been chewed apart, it's not going to really function as well. That's kind of what happens. And so if you can imagine all the things that the central nervous system does for your body and what it controls, those are all the things that can be affected by MS. And so everybody has different symptoms. We all have unique way of presenting our symptoms. Some of us progress faster than others. But the main thing is that the main symptoms that can occur are muscle weakness, muscle spasms, tremors, fatigue, cognitive issues, speech issues, blindness, optic neuritis, which I had. They run the gamut. Basically, if you think of anything that's controlled by the central nervous system, those are the symptoms that you can be presenting.
Wow. So that is incredible, because again, you guys don't know Suzette, but you're getting to know her. And on her Facebook and her Instagram, she's always just sharing, like, her going hiking and her doing all these activities, and she's even an instructor for, like, pole dancing. And I'm just like, how are you doing all these things when that's going on internally in your body? Like, where do you find this drive to just keep going?
This is what I tell everybody. When I was first diagnosed, I had a period of time where my body wasn't functioning the way that I was used to. I had problems lifting my left leg or walking. I remember one time being hospitalized, they brought in a walker, and I was like, no, I'm not using that. But what I did is I took all the necessary steps. You know, your doctors will tell you that fitness helps, nutrition helps, stress management helps, and then disease modifying medications. And so I decided to implement everything in it. Everything I could. And then learn how to research. So I actually enrolled myself in college and I went back to school so I could learn how to research for myself and be an advocate for myself. So I'm in health science major, senior year.
Ooh, congrats.
And thank you. And so what I've decided to do with that knowledge is also help other people learn how to decipher, like, medical knowledge and how to be an advocate for themselves when they go see their neurologist. And I took that information and I actually applied it to my life. And then I told myself, if I can walk, I'm going to go for a walk. If I can run, I'm going to go for a run. If I can hoist myself upside down on a pole, I'm going to do that. And so every time I've had the opportunity to accomplish a goal, like, I tack it like it's the only day I have to do it, because honestly, tomorrow I can wake up and not have functioning legs.
Oh my goodness.
You know, so
that is just so inspirational as someone that is, like, super able body. And you know, we we all have struggles in our personal lives, right? But when your body, literally the one thing that you are supposed to be able to count on, right? Like, it's supposed to be there for you if nobody else is. And then it's, like, failing you in a sense. Like, the drive to just keep pushing. And I love what you're saying about, you know, if you can, you go, right? And it's all about the story you tell yourself. Last episode, you know, I talk a little bit about that and, like, just really creating the reality that you seek. So, now, you took it upon your hands. You went back to school. Like, that's super impressive. But not only is it impressive for yourself, for your family, the example that you're, you know, going to leave for your children and that you're having in your children's life, but also for and the many other people who are struggling with this. Like, I don't know how prominent it is in this country, MS, but I feel like I'm hearing more and more about
it. There's over 1 million people in the country that suffer with MS. Just in this country alone. Canada actually has the highest rate. Most places that are north of the equator will have higher incidences the further from the equator that you get. The theory is that the lower vitamin D levels contribute to your immune system not behaving the way that it should. And
really? Wow. That is... Man, the body is just such a wonderland, but also, like...
It could be our worst enemy sometimes.
In your case, right? But... Nonetheless, right, so we're a self-help podcast and, you know, watching your story and watching your journey. I met Susette at the beginning of the year at a sign making party for the Women's March. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, another Latin person in Colorado Springs. I'm so happy. So glad to meet you. But, you know, as I started following you and seeing your social media presence, I just was like, when I met you, I could have never imagined that that's what you were going on. You know, that's what was going on behind the scenes. Because I met you, you were happy, you were there with your partner, and you were just, like, gleaming, and, you know, you were making your son. I never, you know, from a quick interaction is almost, like, impossible to know.
To see all the layers. Yeah.
But that's the thing, the layers. There's so many layers, you know, and what I love about you and the heel girl, you know, movement that you're really carrying out on social media is that you will show videos of, like, you having, you know, like, tremors and the symptoms. And you will also show videos, you know, of you hiking or of you doing something in your garden or you doing yoga or, you know, a pole dancing class that you're instructing and you're telling people to come do. And that resilience, like, where does that drive come from? You know, I know that you're trying to just go day by day, but there's got to be something more within, right? Like, what is that for you?
I know for myself, I led a life that was really stifled by anxiety and depression. And so before I had any health complications, I always had these major goals I wanted to accomplish, but I never pushed myself and motivated myself outside of that comfort zone to accomplish them. Because of anxiety and depression. And it's just something that runs in my family, and I have it, and I am very vocal about it because we need to stop with this whole mental health stigma. But what ended up happening is when you have your abilities to do certain things taken away and then they come back, because that's the nature of relapse remitting MS. There are times where you are really doing really well, and then there are times where the MS hits and suddenly all your symptoms come back for a few weeks at a time. Those are relapses. And so in the beginning, I actually found myself having relapses every few months. And so what I ended up doing is I was so frustrated that when my abilities came back, that's when I was full force. Okay, I'm taking advantage. It's almost like a slap in the face, you know? Like saying, whoa, your life is really short. Look at all these things that can be taken away from you. Look at all these abilities that can be taken away from you. And this is the time that this is it. This is it. You got to take it by the cojones and do something with it. And so I decided that I was going to make the most out of my life. Because when you have something like that happen to you, when you end up suffering in that kind of way, you see the fragility of life. You see the impermanence of it full force in your face. And then when you start making friends within the MS community, you see how bad it can get too. And that was scary for me in the beginning. I spent a good year not being able to speak to other MS sufferers.
Really?
It was scary because you start thinking that's going to be your journey. But that's the thing. That's not the case. your journey is yours. It's individual. Mm-hmm. And it depends on so many factors. And a lot is not in your control, but a lot is. And so I decided to take the things that were within my control and modify them and change them to make my life better. And the more that I made my life better, the more I saw people around me start trying to make their lives better. And so that's where my drive comes now, is knowing that whenever I'm putting something out there that's positive, when I'm doing a gratitude challenge, mm-hmm. or I'm doing a fitness challenge, it's going to spread out, and those people are then also going to then influence the people around them. And so it's this domino effect of positivity.
Yes.
That's my drive.
I love it. Oh, you're preaching to the choir. You're like, I'm at church. Yes. Like, I think it's so hard for those of us that have dealt with like depression and anxieties and things like that to understand really the impact that we can have, you know, in life. And every time that, you know, I get on the podcast and it's just me and I don't have a guest and I'm talking about some real shit, you know, mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, does this matter? And then I see the download numbers and then I'm like, okay, these people don't know what I look like, but yet they're listening and it's helping somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I meet people in real life and they tell me, oh, I listened to this, or and then, you know, like, okay, I'm being vulnerable and I'm putting myself out there. And even though that's very scary, someone out there is getting something. We're like collectively raising the human consciousness, mm-hmm. up, because that positivity and not fake positivity where you just want to, you know, kind of gloss over.
Positive vibes only.
Mm-hmm. You want to gloss over the real things that are going on. Like, And that was me for a long time. And if you listen to some of the older podcasts, you will, you know, I talk about faking it until you make it. And now I'm like, nope, don't fake it. Just be it, accept it, and then change the story you start telling yourself. And, you know, it's not only about changing the story you tell yourself, but, you know, if you're just sitting at home saying, oh my God, poor me, poor me, poor me, that's all your body's going to feel. That's all your mind's going to, you're feeding, mm-hmm. that.
It's a habit concept that you're forming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you say, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go kick ass. If I can only kick ass for today, then, mm-hmm. I can only kick ass for today. Like, you know, especially with mental health, like for me, there's some really good days where, you know, I go to the gym, I do this, I, mm-hmm. write, I do that. And then there's other days where I want to binge and I just stay home in my bed and my room is a mess and I haven't, mm-hmm. you know, and my dogs are like, please take us for a walk. Like, you're, oh, yeah. neglecting us, mm-hmm. and balance.
Yeah.
You know, really, it's about balance, because it's so easy to think that, you know, if you're in the public eye and then if you're leading movements or if you're, you know, having a podcast, like you're supposed to have it all together.
Mm-mm,
and it's never. Really about that healing journey.
Yeah.
And it's really, I feel like it's really about like what you're willing to put out into the universe and what you're willing to put out into society. And people are going to be receptive to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as you're being honest, and I, that's why I like to put out there the bad and the ugly that you talked about, because, mm-hmm. it's relatable.
Yeah.
I when I started looking at other people with MS to see like how good I could do, not how bad, but how good, yeah. I could do, I started seeing a lot of people who were kind of camouflaging the bad.
Mm.
And I don't want to do that. I want to show when I have tremors. I want to show when I have pain and I can't get out of bed,
yeah.
as much as I want to show me running a Spartan or finishing a marathon. I want to show all those sides, because as a human, we all suffer.
Yeah.
We all suffer, and none of us can say that we suffer more than the other. It's our own individual form of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But if we share it, we can relate. We're relatable, and other people can then see like, wow, she's dealing with all this stuff, but in spite of that, she's still able to do all this. So then maybe I can too. You know, not like she's got it all together and, mm-hmm. that's the only reason why. No, that I think that's a false narrative that a lot of people try to push on social media,
yes.
because they only want people to see the good. But I think they're doing themselves a disservice.
And it's really an epidemic, the current climate that we live in, because you see, you know, I don't remember being young and hearing about all these young suicides, you know, all these young kids. And I feel like a lot of the problem is because from early on, we're teaching them, you know, that you only put the best, like your highlight reel on social media. And then when you're an easily impressionable person, whether you're young, old, you're dealing with something, and all you're seeing is everyone's best life.
You think that's how your life is supposed to be, too.
Not only do you think that that's how it's supposed to be, but then if it's not,
you're beating yourself up.
The hole that you dig for yourself and
the not enough, the scarcity.
Yes, I'm not worth it. I'm unloved.
I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. I don't have enough.
Yeah. And that can be so rough. You know, as someone that, like, I had to delete my personal Instagram because it was just like I just was putting the same thing. I was talking about it, mm-hmm. but I was doing the same thing. And I think it's easy to fall into that. So, again, seeing someone like you that is just so raw and just blunt with it and is like, here's my life. If you like it, cool. You can follow me and follow, you know, and be part of the movement, or you can just kick rocks. That's okay too.
Yeah. Not everybody's going to resonate mm-hmm. with my message. And I used to take it as a personal offense in the beginning. I mean, quite honestly, before I had MS, I had social anxiety. Mm. I had a very small circle of friends. I was diagnosed with PTSD from childhood abuse and borderline personality disorder. I struggled in and out of hospitals, medication. I did the works. And then I decided that I was going to put in the work because, unfortunately, a lot of things in this life require work mm-hmm. and they require discomfort.
Yes.
And from that discomfort is where you're going to grow.
Yeah.
And so I put myself through a whole lot of discomfort. And I love Brené Brown. I just found her recently this year. But everything she talks about when it comes to vulnerability and putting yourself out in the arena, you know, there are going to be people up in those cheap seats in the nosebleed section trying to drag you down. You got to muffle their voices. It's not about hating on them. It's about not giving them the energy because there are people down there in the arena with you. And those are the people who deserve that energy.
I love that. That's such a great way to put it. And I think, you know, if the message is there and it's genuine, people are going to see right through that. But mm-hmm. if it's fake, if you're just, you know, putting something out there because you know, you want to gain popularity or you want to feel like you're part of something and your heart's not really to help people, then people are going to see right through
it's
that.
It's not sustainable to live your life that way. Because at some point, the tower that you build that's made out of fake whatever is going to fall right down.
Do I know it? Do I know it? And when it does, you're left just feeling like, what have I done my entire life? I have not been authentic. I have not been truthful to myself. And what a disservice mm-hmm. to oneself, right? And I think that's what we forget sometimes, that it's not about others. It's about you and what you're putting out into the universe, because that's what's going to come right back.
Yeah.
And people are mirrors, you know, and I'm really learning that the people you keep in your life really will mirror you. And they will, you know, sometimes they will bring things out of you that you're not ready to deal with, or you're that you don't are not ready to be accepting of, and then it's like boom in your face, deal with it. And it's, we live in a time where it's better to be like, nope, I don't want to. And so to deal with it is, it's an act of courage.
Well, yeah, because it's uncomfortable and it requires vulnerability, but it's brave. It's courage. That's what courage is all about. It has nothing to do. Vulnerability takes courage. It's not a weak mm-hmm. thing. It's not a weakness. And so for myself, that's one of those messages I try putting out there all the time. Because people are like, you're so brave. And it's like, well, yeah, sort of. Because when you're this vulnerable, you do have to have courage to put it all out there. Because there are people are going to reject you. Not everybody's going to accept your message. And the way that you let them affect you really determines how you're going to continue with that message. Mm. And so for myself, I learned that my spiritual advisor, Nori, from All Souls, I love her, Reverend Nori, spoke to me the other day. And she's like, you know, what they said to you, because I told her, I'm like, this person said this and this and that, and oh my God, it hurt me. She's like, well, that's their dream. That's not yours. You don't need to take it personally. You know, that's their dream. And so that's what it is. Outside people that have anything negative to say, or they don't want to receive my message, that's their dream. And they don't want to accept my dream, that's fine.
Yeah.
There are plenty of other people that are going to accept it. And as long as you're really authentic, you're going to find other authentic people that gravitate towards you.
Absolutely. I 150% agree. And with that, to switch gears a little bit, so heel girl, like, mm-hmm. when, so obviously you went through, you know, a period of just, like, you know, staying in your own lane, not really knowing what to do with it, not really knowing what to do with what had been told to you, like, your diagnosis. And then you decided when, what, like, how did heel girl come about?
Well, heel girl came about, I was on Instagram for a good year. I got Instagram right after my third daughter was born, my third baby. And I actually got MS, like, right after she was born. Wow. That's when I was had my first set of symptoms. And so I was chronicling my family at that point, and I had 40 followers, and it was a private account, and it was just baby pictures all over the place. But then when I decided that I was going to, like, really push myself to be as healthy as I possibly could with this disease and not let it get in my way and accomplish all the things I wanted to accomplish, I started posting that on there, and I opened up my account to be just public. And so I started using the hashtags MS Warrior, multiple sclerosis, those things, so that other people could see, like, oh, look, I'm able to work out. Maybe you can too. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I went from having like 46 followers when I went public to, like, since 2014 to now having over 4,600 followers on Instagram. That's awesome. And most of those people are really people who just suffer with some kind of chronic disease. And I love the fact that I have this ability, that I have this platform to be able to show all the truths that come with living mm-hmm. with a chronic disease. Yeah. But the thing is like, the main message is there are things you can implement in your life to help increase your quality of life. You don't have to be stuck. You're not forced to, like, stay within this life that you feel like you're stuck in. There are always things that you can implement within your life to help make things better. And even with, if you're unable to walk, if you're unable to see, if you're unable to speak. And I've seen that within my community and other communities of disabled people. They are resilient. They find ways to make their lives better. And so that's my biggest message, is like, it doesn't matter what kind of disability or ability you have. You have the control to make things better. You have many, many options available to you. You just have to find them and implement them.
I love that. And it's so true. And, you know, with a podcast, I always tell people, maybe today's step one, you're here listening to a self-help podcast. Maybe this is what you needed. Maybe, you know, for your followers, they just needed to see a person that also has MS, like, working out to get that light bulb to go off, like, mm-hmm. wait, like, I'm not bedridden. Like, I can actually go do this, you know? And, you know, when you're dealing with, like, self-help, I mean, that can be anything. There's people that are able-bodied that are dealing with some mental, deep mental stuff. There's people that have physical disabilities, invisible, disabilities that are, you know, going through it, and they're still out there just looking for something to tell them, like, it's okay to be, you know, and it makes me sad that we live in a time where it requires that, but I don't think it's ever been any different. Now we just have the access of being able to see one another through social media.
A lot of people are like, oh my God, why is this happening more than it did in the past? It's not. Most of these things that we're seeing now that are either negative or positive, we're seeing more now because we have access to them. Like, the world is more connected now than it's ever been. And with video phones basically just in everyone's pocket, we get to see the reality of life. Mm-hmm. You know, just like, you know, our Black community, the Black Lives Matter movement. It's not that Black people are just suddenly being attacked by police now. It's always happened. Just we're seeing it more now.
And it's, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because when you try to explain to people that, it's like, you know, you have the All Matter, you know, All Lives Matter crew, and it's like, it's bringing awareness to an issue that's been happening for a long time, for a long time. It's just now you're aware of it and you don't like it. You don't like the fact that someone's making you aware of it, because there comes those implicit biases of, like, now you want to be silent because you don't want to have an opinion on it. So it's easier to say, you know, oh, well, all lives matter, and saying that is this and that. And it's like, it's like bringing awareness to MS. Like, there's nothing wrong with bringing awareness to MS, but also, you know, being aware that, like, I don't have MS, but I can see that you do, and being like, oh, you know, yeah, please tell me about it. Like, let me listen. Let me be an ally in whatever way that
instead
I can.
Instead of being like, well, cancer is worse. That's where I need to put my attention. Yeah. Like, no, well, we all, you know, all these different issues, you know, from being disabled to being in any marginalized community, it requires awareness. And some people don't want to see the ugly truth of life.
Yeah. But it's also, you know, it's also about the story that you tell yourself, because I think that if you've never been faced with some of those realities, like I grew up in Texas, but I'm an immigrant. I came to this country at 10. I was undocumented for most part of my life. So like even being able to share my story, people are like, they don't want to believe it, because then their implicit biases have to literally fall to the ground of what they right. think an immigrant looks like or sounds like or, you know, is like. And then same thing with, you know, disability, like people have an idea of what disability yes. looks like.
Yes. I actually have had friends who will post notes that are left on their cars because they'll have a handicap placard, but they're not in a wheelchair, or they might not even be using a mobility device. They might have problems with fatigue or with vision or with cognitive issues. And so they get their handicap placard and people will leave nasty notes. Mm. Where's your wheelchair?
That is so sad.
Yeah. But I mean, unfortunately, what it comes down to is ignorance.
Yes.
And that's why speaking on these subjects and putting it out there, it's kind of diminishing that ignorance just a little bit. The more that mm-hmm. you normalize it, the more the stigma is going to start to fall away. It's kind of like I live in a polyamorous relationship. And when we first started, it was 2 years ago, and it was still very new. And poly has been around forever. Ever and ever and ever, hundreds and thousands of years. It's just, it's not been normalized.
So for those that are listening that don't know what that is, what is a polyamorous relationship?
Polyamorous relationship basically just means more than one love.
Okay.
And it can be defined in a million and one different ways. My poly relationship is, I have a husband that I've been married to for 11 years now. And mm-hmm. I have a partner who lives with us. And my husband and him have a platonic relationship. They're best friends. But me and my partner and me and my husband are in romantic relationships. And we have kids together. I have kids with my husband. I have a kid with my partner. Little baby. He's yeah. so cute. and we all live together and we raise children together. And one relationship of mine, my husband's non-monogamous. But me and my partner have decided to be monogamous within our relationship. And that's polyfidelity. There's a lot of definitions out there. But this is the way that we find living our life works best. And yeah. this is how we, you know, we don't see love in terms of one soulmate forever.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. It's and in the beginning, we definitely had a lot of people who cut us off. We don't speak to certain family members anymore.
Really?
Oh yeah. A lot of people on my husband's side of the family, my side of the family, they stopped speaking to us. But at the same time, I'm not living my life for them, and they're not paying my bills. So.
More power to you. You know, like I think that's again another thing where it's like that just unapologetic way of living, an apologetic way of being. And I think that in every facet of your life, you're, you know, showing that, being an example for that. And I think there's always going to be people that don't understand.
And sometimes that not understanding leads to fear, and sometimes that fear leads to anger and hate. And we've seen that. But at the same time, that's not going to force us to change our life. You know, especially if our kids are happy and we're happy and we have a really nice functioning house and things really work out for us, then nobody has the right to say anything, really.
Absolutely. And I think that you're starting to see more and more relationships like this, to be mm-hmm. honest. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with loving however you want to love, right. You know, whatever that looks like. Do you, you know, like, yeah. I'm pansexual. I don't care for what, you know, sexual orientation or sexual identity like my partner identifies as. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have like a problem with that sometimes when you present, like, you know, I'm very feminine in a lot of ways. And, you know, even within the LGBTQ, you know, community, sometimes it's like you don't feel like you really belong in certain aspects because you're not just, you know, presenting one way or another or doing life in one way or another. But it really is just, like, for me personally, it's just love is love, right? And whatever extension of that is, and if the person happens to have a penis or a vagina or, you know,
something in the middle.
Yeah, like, it's not really about that. It's about the quality of the person and what they can bring into your life. And especially, like, I think that we forget, like, I went to, many years ago, I went to the World Erotic Museum in Miami, and there was, like, paintings and artifacts from, like, way back in the day, and, like, multiple partners was just a very common thing. Like you said, it's been happening. But it's, we live in a very rigid society that wants to say, you know, only a male and a female, and, you know, if you can procreate, then that is what, you know, the sanity of the word marriage, or obviously we live in a time now where it's like, no, you can marry whoever you want to love, but you still have a lot of people that have that idea of this is what it's supposed to be like. I'm Mexican, and, like, you know, if I even, like, try to explain to people, like, you know,
oh my God,
my views around it.
Community, it's the worst. Susie has two men? Oh my God. I'm like, look, really, you think this is a bad thing? I have one guy who works and, like, pays the bills, and he's a great father. And then I have another guy who works part-time and then is home to help me because I have a chronic disease. I don't have to get a nurse. You know, it takes a village. But then when you finally find your village, people are going to criticize because it doesn't look like what they think it should. The thing is that everybody's gonna always find something to criticize.
Yeah.
There's always gonna be something out there that is gonna cause fear, gonna cause anger. But, you know, when we speak about these things, that's when we start to normalize them. Mm-hmm. And that's when we start taking the veil off. Because really, honestly, all it is that just people never seen it and they don't understand it. And usually when they don't understand it, they are scared of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suddenly it's this nasty, mysterious connotation to it. And it's like, you know what? You come to my home and you're going to see three very loving parents who are working together as partners, who are working on communication, who have the same issues as every other couple, traditional couple. But, you know, we're working on communication. We're making sure that our kids get to school on time and get picked up on time. We go to church every Sunday. You know, we do all these normal traditional things, just not within the traditional normal box, you know.
I love it. And, you know, kudos to you for being so unapologetic about it. I appreciate anyone that's unapologetic about anything, but especially, you know, you with having, you know, your movement. Like, a lot of times when people are, you know, being an example, quote unquote, for others, they feel like, you know, they have to fall within what society tells them to.
No. For me, though, no. Society can only dictate so much. The rest of it is up to you because, like I said before, you have this one life. Mm-hmm. And it's very short.
Yes.
And it's very precious.
Absolutely.
And why let society dictate to you how you should be living it?
Preach. Preach. I am listening. Like, gospel. Yes, absolutely. Like, and I hope for those of you that are listening that the message is really resonating with you, that it doesn't matter if you've been diagnosed with something, doesn't matter if you have depression or anxiety, doesn't matter if, you know, you're living a non-conventional, you know, typical life that people want you to live or that society says this is what's right or this is what's wrong. It's about what makes you happy. It's about what fulfills you. It's about what brings you joy. And it's really about going after your highest excitement, whatever that might be, whatever that might look like.
Whether
you know, you're happy, then you're good. If you're sad about it, then do something and change it. So one last question for you is, how do you take care of yourself? Like, what does your self-care look like? Like, do you meditate? I know you do some yoga, but what is, like, that one thing that just can really restore that inner peace for you?
Oh, I don't have one thing. I call it my toolbox.
Ooh.
So I talk to people about my toolbox, and it's this thing that I pull out mentally, and it's filled with tools, stress management tools, self-care tools. I like to get my hair done. I will spend a little money on doing that.
I love it.
You know, I love to go out in my garden. My garden is one of my biggest peace bringers. You know, happiness and anger and sadness are all fleeting emotions. We only experience them for temporary moments of time. What I want to try to find is wholehearted living and peace. And for me, that is spending time with my kids, being out in my garden. I keep bringing up this garden, guys. It's beautiful. I sit out there. I meditate. I like to have really like deep conversations with my partners or my friends. I will plan a hike somewhere I've never been to before. Like, I'll try something new to get myself out of my head and out of the space of stress. You know, Nori told me one time, when you stress, you regress. And I feel like that's the truth for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to regress. I work too hard to get to where I'm at. And the last thing I want to do is go backwards, which is normal, by the way. We were going to go backwards at some point. But you got to work towards then moving forward again. Pick yourself back up and move forward. And so you got to find these things, you know, taking long baths. I love Epsom salt baths. I do as many and all the things. And I don't feel selfish about it either. Because at the end of the day, what ends up happening is that I have the time and the energy to give to my kids and to give to my social media presence and to give to my partners and to give to my church and to give to any of the movements that I want to be a part of. You know, I love Oprah. She is my idol. And she talks about people saying that she's full of herself and how that was a bad thing. And she says, no, I am full of myself. I am full and I'm overflowing. And that's where that overflowing, that's what you can then give to other people without compromising yourself.
Absolutely. And I always tell the listeners, you know, definitely you can't be there for others. You can't be of assistance if you're not taking care of first.
I mean, you can, but it gets to a point where then your battery runs empty and then you have nothing left to give.
You're on E.
You have to constantly be filling yourself. Be full of yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Sisette, Heal Girl, thank you so much for being here today. This conversation has been, you know, just very awakening in so many ways, and I know that the listeners are just gonna love hearing about you and everything that you're doing. If someone's interested in learning more about MS and what you're doing with your movement, where can they find you on social media?
So I'm on Facebook, Suzette Heal Girl Mark and Tony, just add me. Or I'm on Instagram, you can follow me as Heal Girl, HEALGIRL. Normally I'll follow you right back, but I'm always doing challenges to help people find gratitude in their lives, or to help people get jump-started with a nutrition program or fitness, just kind of pushing people to get outside of their comfort zones and maybe grow a little bit more.
I love it. I love it. Guys, if you're listening and this is something that interests you, or you just want to support the message that Suzette Heal Girl is, you know, putting out into the universe, please go follow her as always. I hope that you're happy and healthy. If you want to keep up with us, you can go to lifecopeapp.podomatic.com. If you want to keep up with me, Nancy I. Perez, and as always, we're on social media, LifeCope LLC. I will catch you next week. I will have a new episode for you. And as always, I thank you for being here. This is my form of therapy, and this is my way of just really learning more about myself, but also learning about the people that are around me. And man, women who inspire. Thank you so much, Heal Girl, for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye, guys.